Now, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. The joy of having you here tonight, we trust God will bless you, and through you have many blessings will come to other people. The Lord said, remember to Abraham of old, I will bless you, and you will become a blessing. So if you yourselves are being blessed by the ministry, tell others of it and encourage them to come along with you to the services. If anyone would like me to visit, by the way, don't be afraid to let me know. I'm here to do that as well. As minister, we can be of any help along this line. Let us have the name and address. We certainly will go and see them. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now notice that word is in singular. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord will add his blessing to that reading from his words or heart. Now let us have a call, shall we? It's a new life. You've got the leaflet there. Those of you, at least I trust you brought them back for you as you took them home. And probably tomorrow we'll be having a few more for you, that you'll all be able to have one. So let us have the new chorus of the new life. We sang it so well this morning with the first go. Now you've had all afternoon to rest, and I'm sure you'll be able to sing it much better this evening. All together. It's a new life. Amen. You've been all this long time. We had it this morning. You just sing a thing once, you're at Park of the Palms, and you'll get it. Isn't that right? Now you've got it, so let it go this time, will you? I'll tune down and you sing right up, and then you'll have more copies tomorrow night. All together, sing it now, once more for the last time tonight. It's a new life. Thank you very much. Now, just a very short word of prayer. And Father, it is not enough to have thy word opened to us by the hand of a mere man, nor even by an act of parliament. Thy word must be opened to us by the Holy Spirit. So we're depending upon the Holy Spirit to lead us into the word tonight and to reveal to us our adorable Lord Jesus, who is the living word. That I notice each heart bowed in thy presence tonight. May be many questions, Father, in those hearts and even answer. Many problems have got to be solved. But our Father, we recognize Christ as the answer to every question. He is the solution for every problem. So we depend upon the Spirit of God right now to fill our vision with the Lord Jesus. In his peerless name. Amen. Now this morning we're looking a little at the first few verses of this wonderful ninth chapter of Isaiah. You know, notice two emblems there, they black and white, darkness and light. First of all, then, the darkness reminds us of ignorance and of sin and of sorrow, with light reminds us of knowledge and purity and joy, multiplying joy, increasing joy, the joy of fruit, the joy of success, the joy of victory, the joy of glorious emancipation, and the joy of the utter destruction of the enemy. Now with all that before you, come with me now to verse number 6. Think again of this expression unto us. Not just to Judah, but to both Israel and Judah, unto us. Now forget all about them for a moment. Let us think of this immediate congregation. May you hear the Spirit saying, unto us, unto you, a child is born. Though Christ a thousand times be born in Bethlehem, yet not in your heart. How forlorn is your soul. Unto us, a child is born. There you have his incarnation, the child born. 10 times you come across the expression of child in this wonderful prophecy. We're not dealing with those 10 just now. We're thinking of this particular one. Unto us, a child is born. His incarnation. Then we come to the next phrase. Unto us, a son is given. And there you have his manifestation. First of all, his incarnation, the child born. I trust you believe in the virgin birth of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. That great theologian of a day gone by, John Wesley, said, the great creator contracted to a span, indescribably made man. Matthew chapter 1 will read this wonderful expression. So and so begat. It comes down on Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Christ. He does not say, and Joseph begat Jesus. Oh no. In St. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, you read that from Abram to David are 14 generations. From David to Babylon are 14 generations. From Babylon to Christ there are 14 generations. Now you can read these any way you like. You certainly will find the first section 14, the second section 14. When you come to the third section, you only find 13 names. Is there a discrepancy? Is there a contradiction? 1,000 times no. The 14th one is the Holy Ghost. And we bow before God tonight and we worship and we adore and we hear the word, and that Holy One is born of the Holy Ghost. The only time you ever read of the seed of the woman is in connection with the birth of the Lord Jesus. Every other time is the seed of the man, the seed of the man. When it comes to the birth of the Lord Jesus, it is the seed of the woman. So no wonder this evening we sing from our hearts, Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifested in hell and heaven's beloved One. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art Thou, that every knee to Thee should bow, and us, the Son given, reminding us of His glorious manifestation. This One is God, the very God, came into a body like unto your body, my body, and apart from sin. We bow before Him as we hear the words, For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Galatians 4:4, When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman to redeem. Born of a woman. Oh, let us bow before Him once more tonight, dear child of God, as we think of the child born and the Son, given there was never a time when it was not the Son, but there will be a time when there will never be the Son. We thank God this evening hour that God gave His Son. There you have now His wonderful incarnation and His manifestation. But now let us think for a moment of the designation here. And then it was said, And the government shall be upon His shoulder. Thou shalt call His name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now there you have the designation of God's beloved Son. Look at verse 7, and you have His occupation. See what it says here. And of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. And there you got the occupation of this One, unadorable Lord. Then the last phrase, you have His glorification. It says here, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, the God of power, will perform this. Now, did you get those little points? I want you to get a grip of them. Now, I want to grip your heart with my heart tonight. His incarnation, His manifestation, His designation, His occupation, and now lastly, His glorification. For this evening, for a short time, I want to circle your thoughts around this wonderful name, and that's it. The name is Wonderful. Wonderful. May we just pause here for one moment. May I ask you this question? Does the name of the Lord Jesus still fill your heart with wonder? Because He is wonderful, does the mention of that name fill you with ecstasy? To every part of being my friend tingles with the glorious joy. Why, He is wonderful. Now I want to suggest to you this evening 4 or 5 little expressions proving to your heart with my heart the Lord Jesus is really wonderful. Say, no one could really say that word wonderful like late Gypsy Smith. Wonderful Jesus. Something about that is so thrilling, isn't it? Something is so precious. My friend, does Christ fill your heart with wonder tonight? Does the very image that name just do something within you that fills you and thrills you and fills your whole heart with ecstasy and real joy? Is not I wonder why? Is it because you may not know Him, a reality in your own mind? We present you, my friend, tonight not merely Christ, a figure in history, not a figment of the imagination. We present Christ, You are living Lord. And we can truthfully say tonight, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And this One whose name is Wonderful fills our heart with wonder and with utter joy and real ecstasy. Giving that before you now. He is wonderful, first of all, in His grace. He is wonderful in His grace. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Now those expressions, ye know. But do we really know? Do we really know? Now we may know this is a text of scripture, but I know the living reality in my own life. Ye know the grace. What does the Bible say in Titus 2:11? The grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men has appeared. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul said, remember, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, it's no longer I, but the grace of God that worketh in me. If anyone knew this wonderful Christ and all his matchless wonders and grace, it was the man Paul. And remember, he said these words again, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, were we able tonight to measure the immensity of the riches that belong to an adorable Lord Jesus Christ? I may think of this one who came in abstract poverty, went right down to the very lowest depth, my friend. Yes, and were we able tonight to fathom the depth of the poverty he went into, then let me be able tonight to measure the immensity of the riches that belong to the durable Lord Jesus. But let us come closer to the verse. Now ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that title, don't you? I love the title, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, he is my Savior. Christ, he is my sanctifier. Lord, he is my Sovereign. And ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sake, your sake, my sake, he became poor. I am thinking of verse in Proverbs chapter 22 goes something like this. The blessing of God maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow thereto. Now I want you to notice a threefold contrast here. Tonight we have the blessing because Christ became the curse. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee. That same hymn brings out the expression, he took the cup of the wrath of God, he drank it to his bitter dregs. Now nothing but blessing remains for you and for me tonight. Oh, the wonder of it all. Tonight we have the blessing because he became the curse. Tonight we have the riches because he became poor. Tonight we have the joy because he became the man of sorrows. What a meditation for a worship gathering. To meditate, we are not because he cursed. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Then tonight we have the riches because he became poor. We tonight have the joy because he became the man of sorrows. Ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And we bow before him tonight and we cry with all our heart, for the wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Yes, he is wonderful. He's wonderful in his grace. The second thing, he's wonderful in his gentleness. He's wonderful in his gentleness. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 1, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Isn't that a lovely expression? The meekness and the gentleness of Christ. It is so gentle, so understanding, so sympathetic, so full of compassion. I think of that time when against over the city of Jerusalem, they stood there and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee the chick, hen has gathered chicks under her wing, but ye would not. O the compassion of our adorable Lord Jesus. The boys and girls would love to come to him. They love to gather around him. He was so gentle, so understanding. He could say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The gentleness of the Savior. He could see their beloved, that weeping with his mother, and saw beloved the funeral procession. And as he gazed upon that weeping with his mother, his heart was moved from passion, and his gentleness moved out toward that dear woman. And he stopped the procession, touched the beard of the young man, I said to thee, arise. He was saying, he sat up and began to speak, and his side loved the start. And Jesus delivered him to his mother. Isn't that just like him? He delivered him to his mother, and a very full sort of when she had come, he gave him back to his mother. I love that. May you have the Lord Jesus only refer to as the Lamb, sometimes refer to as the Lion. We thank God for the Lamb character of the Lord Jesus. We thank God for the Lion character of the Lord Jesus. But I am thinking tonight as all the gentleness and all the meekness. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, meekness is not weakness. Moses was a very meek man. He certainly was not a weak man. And the Lord Jesus said, thy gentleness has made me great. Two women driving along in my car a little while ago, month of January. Angus was one of them. And these two sisters, I overheard their conversation. They were talking about the gentleness and the meekness of the Lord Jesus. And these are two of the characteristics of an overseer in an assembly. As I was driving along there, my ear wide open to this conversation, I was getting a real theological discourse, and now they came to the conclusion. A gentleman never gives offense. A meek man never takes offense. I thought this was the soundest theological discourse I'd ever listened to in my life. A gentle man never gives offense. A meek man never takes offense. Now you think that through, and you'll bow before this one who's wonderful in his gentleness, and you adore him. You'll worship him. I said to my wife afterward, where did you get that? Says, I was out the Derrick Chapel in Los Angeles in the month of November at a coffee hour when 135 women were there. One of the elder brethren, afterward discussing the fact of the qualifications of an overseer, and this is the conclusion it came to. An overseer must be gentle and he must be meek. And he declared, a gentle man never gives offense, and a meek man never takes offense. The Lord is both gentle and he is meek. This love thy law, nothing shall offend him. It's the old Adamic nature that is offended. The old Adamic nature, it gets touchy and moody and sulky. It's the old Adamic nature that causes offense. But a gentle man, one empowered and energized by the Holy Spirit, shall be marked by those two wonderful features. What are they? Gentleness and meekness. He's wonderful in his gentleness. I love to develop that. The time will allow me. Then furthermore, he is wonderful in his glory. Wonderful in his glory. Now look at this. He is wonderful in his grace. He's wonderful in his gentleness, but now the very central one is, he's wonderful in his glory. Hebrews 2, verse number 9, but we see Jesus. Do we? Do we? Do you see him with the eye of faith right now? Turning eyes upon Jesus, looking in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Speaking reverently, Christ has never made anything. By his own voluntary will, he became a little lower than the angels. There you have his humiliation for the suffering of death. Crowned his coronation with glory, his glorification, and with honor, his exaltation. Beloved, we behold his glory. He is a wonderful Savior, and he's wonderful in his glory. Let us pause for one moment here, shall we? I asked you a moment ago, do you see him? Do you really? To see him will cause us to prostrate ourselves before him. And like Thomas of old will cry, my Lord and my God. When Thomas has seen the nail prints in whose lovely hands and feet has seen that spear of inside, Thomas prostrated himself before him and cried, my Lord and my God. When Mary saw him said, my Lord. Tonight the Lord is here. He's nearer to you than your neighbor. But we see Jesus. Sir, we will see Jesus. Those intellectual people, that particular day, the Greeks, that was the desire, that was the longing, the yearning of their heart. Is that why you are here gathered tonight, dear one? In the presence of the Lord Jesus, you've come to hear his voice. You've come to see him. Then, my friends, tonight, listen. The very one who left the heights of heavenly glory came right down to the scene of sin and sorrow. The great Lord Jesus, so he was rich, yet for our sake to be came poor, he came right down, down, down. Is the one now who is going through Calvary's cruel cross. Not his agony, not his anguish and shame. Christ died upon that cross for your sin and for mine. He was buried on the third day. He rose again from the dead. And that he ascended right up far above all principality and power, might and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come. God has put all things under his feet. And tonight we lift our eyes and cry. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man who sorrows now. From the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Yes, thank God tonight, he is wonderful in his glory. Only once you ever read the Lord Jesus asking for his own will, as in John 17, verse 24, that says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me, where I am, that they may behold my glory. Yes, thank God, one day we're going to behold his glory. Then he said, the sufferings of this little while are nothing to be compared, for the glory shall be revealed in us. And Paul said, if we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. Oh, dear one, lift up your heart tonight. Look away from yourself. Look away to the Lord Jesus. He said, we're going to behold his glory. We're going to share his glory. And the glory, my friend, is going to be revealed through his people one day. He's going to make us an object of his wrath. We should all be conformed to his image. He's altogether loving. We'll have his nature, love, and love. And my friend, in that day we shall display the glory of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that day's not far away. He's wonderful in His grace. He's wonderful in His gentleness. He's wonderful in His glory. The wonder of it all. That fourthly now, He's wonderful in His greatness. He's wonderful in His greatness. And Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 34. Let us read these, shall we? Because I misquote them. I wouldn't like to do that. Luke chapter 1. And I think it's verse number 32. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. There's real sweet music, and I like to hear you rustling among the leaves. Verse number 30. The angel said unto her, Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse number 28 says, highly favored, the Lord is with thee. The only time you ever read of that word highly in connection with the Lord Jesus is in Philippians chapter 2. God has highly exalted him. Here now, in connection with this humiliation, it says concerning Mary, highly favored art thou amongst women. Now look at verse 30. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive, and thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. The glory of God shall be given unto him. And God shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And you can't spiritualize that. You can't spiritualize that. He has not yet sat upon the throne of David. He has not yet reigned in the house of Jacob. And a member of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And I'm not going into prophetic discourses now, but I'm thinking of these words, and he shall be great. Beloved, he's wonderful in his greatness, he's great in his character. Think of who he is, the Son of the living God. He's great in his love. He's great in his sympathy. He's great in his power. And God said, remember, and he shall be great. Let some of the wonder that come over your spirit life cause you to bow before him in worship. And in true adoration, God says that he is higher than the highest. He's higher than the heavens. He's higher than the kings of the earth. Yes, he shall be great. Beloved, he's great in his suffering, great in his sorrow, great in his death, great in his resurrection. He's great in his glorious exaltation. He's great, our great unchanging high priest now. The one day alone is going to burst the clouds and descend to the air. And we're going to be raptured immediately. And remember, that maybe tonight. And maybe this very night the listening sky is now dumb. We'll hear the bridegroom's voice saying, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, does your heart sing out tonight? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come today. Even so come, Lord Jesus, catch up thy bride away. Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Yes, beloved, when that takes place, and we're raptured, and we're called home the great marriage supper of the Lamb, we see all those royal dainties, loading, delaying my friend, royal banqueting table, There we are by God's matchless grace, the recipients of all that God has provided for us, for His own beloved Son. We let the bar before Him and say, He's wonderful in His greatness. All heaven bowing toward Him, all heaven lauding Him, all heaven praising Him, all heaven adoring Him. I will go to enter in them without any physical limitation. Cry, worthy, O Lamb of God, of Thou, that every knee to Thee should bow. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Yes, He's wonderful in His greatness. Friend, tonight does this one thrill your heart? Does He fill your heart with wonder? Does He fill your heart with joy? Oh, to know Him, my friend, is to love Him. I trust and love Him tonight. That's because I must close. He's wonderful in His government. Wonderful in His government. Look now, please, back to our chapter, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And what do we read? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. There shall be no end. He is great. He is wonderful in his government. I want just to touch your heart as we close tonight. This one is wonderful in his greatness. Wonderful in his grace. Wonderful in his gentleness, wonderful in his glory, is now wonderful in his government. His government, my friend, shall be a government, and peace shall rule, and he who is the Prince of Peace, my friend, shall wield that scepter, and there shall be peace. Without any war. And as the waters now cover the sea, so shall his glory cover the whole earth. And no one shall have to say, Know the Lord, for all men shall know him. They'll bow before him, they'll laud him, and they'll praise him, and they'll acknowledge that he is Lord, the glory of God the Father. But here's the thought. I ask you to notice that word is in the singular in verse 6. The government shall be upon his shoulder. When I was a youngster back in Scotland so many years ago, not quite so many, I remember those dear older divines used to say to us younger fellows, when you're ministering the word of God, whether in Sunday school or Bible class, announcing the glad tidings or teaching God's people, always in your message, place the crosswork of Christ. Place it right in the center. In the center. And build all around it. And I said, you'll never become a modernist. And you'll never wander. You always have plenty of material to work with. And place the cross of Christ in the center of your message. But when you come to Luke chapter 15, read there about the shepherd going out after the sheep. And he searches, and he searches, and searches. And you say, well, where is the crosswork here? My good Father, he searches, and searches, and searches, until, and there's the cross. The good shepherd, my friend, being up 7/8 of the way, he went all the way. Having loved his all, he loved the right to the very uttermost. To the very uttermost, Calvary's cruel cross. And the good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. We find Christ sitting down, picking that sheep up, and what did he do? He placed the sheep now upon his shoulders. No longer the singular. Friend, you see how precious you are to the Lord Jesus. The government of the whole universe, he's going to bear upon one shoulder when he's bringing you and me home to heaven. It takes both his shoulders for that. Did you get that? It takes both his shoulders. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 33, that the love of the Lord shall dwell where? Between his shoulders. Marietta, Georgia, when they were meeting in the Civic Center quite a number of years ago. That place was fast in capacity one Lord's morning at the family Bible hour. A family came in and they squeezed themselves into the back, and the younger people stood up, let the others get a seat. As I rose to come to the platform, this brother, the principal of a school in Atlanta, the little boy took my seat. The only seat left. As I looked down, I saw that dear fellow there, and over his shoulder was his little boy. That little boy was leaning right over his daddy's heart, right over his daddy's shoulder. And I looked at that picture. The heart, the place of affection, the shoulder, the place of strength. Said, "Lo, that's just where I am. That's just where I am." And that's where you are tonight as a child of God. You're going to place his heart, the place of affection. You're going to place between his shoulders the place of strength and power. Something else I noticed about that little boy, how close his mouth was to his daddy's ear. He could whisper so gently in his daddy's ear, and his daddy could hear that whisper. Now I noticed something else, how close that little boy's ear was to his daddy's mouth. All the intimacy, all the closeness. Now I rejoiced as I thought upon that scene. Lord, that's just where I am. Now this one who's wonderful in his grace and in his gentleness and in his glory and in his greatness is also wonderful in his government. And that one stands at your heart's door tonight. He wants to come in. He wants to come in. Will you let him in tonight? I've known this one now for over 40 years. I've proved him in many parts of the world, and he's never failed. He's never failed once. Every friend will fail and leave you. The one day fool, the next day grieve you, but this friend, he'll never deceive you through how he loves. Will you from your heart say right now, "Lord Jesus, I only is my Lord and Savior. I thank thee for thy matchless grace, and here now I receive thee. Come into my heart." Will you?